a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire.
It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And welcome back to the Razzball Basketball Podcast. It is Thursday, November 13th, 2014. We want to thank all of the Fantasy Sports Network listeners for joining us today. We've got a huge, huge show, Slim. There's so much going on. I don't think I'm on information overload right now.
Yeah, I watched that Utah Jazz game last night till the end. It was somewhat entertaining, I guess. that a positive thing?
That was a lot of actually entertaining games, even though it didn't seem like it. I watched a lot of the Pistons Wizards. That was back and forth all the way. So lots to talk about for today. We're going to recap Wednesday's games. We've got Mike Gallagher from Roto World. He's who we're facing off in the Yahoo Friends and Family League this week. He's one of the main guys that write your Roto World blurbs. Oh, that's a tongue twister. And we're going to talk a little DraftKings, recap our Razzball only contest from last Friday. And then it's the weekend for us, so we're going to talk some movies and what's coming out this weekend. So let's start with Mexico City. That's a good place to start for NBA action, right?
Yeah, I didn't watch a minute of that game.
Yeah, that was not too late for you. But Zach LaVine, 9 assists, played a lot of minutes. I think it's pretty obvious you want to own Zach LaVine over Mo Williams, but are you picking up Zach LaVine everywhere he's available?
No. His run will end. So, you know, he's a great little streamer now. I mean, we'll see what happens tonight with Roten, but if Roten's minutes get crushed, like, down to 20-ish, that's not a bad little switch up right there.
Yeah, I think I'd rather LaVine. I mean, like you said, it really depends on the minutes. I don't know. I wrote this morning in my article that I thought he looked a little bit more out of control than the numbers looked. You know, 8-3-9, no steals, no blocks, had 3 turnovers, all in 34 and a half minutes. But I think just the fact that he got that much run, I mean, he looks fast. I mean, he's a quick guy, but I don't know. I think he's worth owning right now in 12ers, though, if you need assists. I'm trying to think of some comps. I'd still rather have Patrick Beverley over him. I'd probably rather LaVine over both Heat point guards, though. I know you're going to disagree with Chalmers.
No. I mean, you have to find a way to replace Chalmers' steal somewhere, but no, I don't mind that. It's a lot more assists.
I mean, I imagine both Cole and Chalmers are owned in more leagues. So, yeah, I think LaVine's a guy to go out and be sure that he's not available in your league if you're in a 12er, that's for sure. In the same game, I was really impressed by Denotis Motiejunas, and he's now had 2 straight really good games. Terrence Jones still out with apparently it's a nerve issue now in his leg. That's not good to hear. But last night, 8-7-4-1-2 from Motiejunas, and just like at the eye level, he looked really smooth out there. And next game for Houston is tomorrow against the 76ers. That's a guy that I think I'm going to try to stream in a ton of leagues.
Yeah, I mean, Papanikolaou had a pretty good game too. I think they're just going to play the hot hand there. Could go either way, either night.
Yeah, I mean, I think Motiejunas gives them some backup depth up front. I know they're going to play Tariq Black behind Dwight.
I thought you were
Howard.
About to say toughness, and I was going to argue that point. That's the one thing he does not offer.
You don't think Motiejunas is tough?
Not at all.
Pronouncing his name is tough.
Yeah, that's the most difficult thing about him.
Yeah, he definitely is more of a finesse guy, but, you know, can chip in a 3. Here and there.
Thaddeus got benched last night, right? They went young and he had to go against...
Towards late, yeah.
But, who? Well, I don't even know.
I don't know. Shabazz Muhammad was playing. I mean, he's more of a 3, but they played Jang. They played Turi off late. Yeah. But Motiejunas looked good early, so he looked good throughout to me. So speaking of a big man that... flip side, no finesse and all toughness, Chris Kamen. What do you make of this Chris Kamen resurgency? He's now got 9 blocks the last 3 games, had a huge one last night in the blowout at Denver. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, hit 6 of 8 shots. Where does Kamen rank with the other bench centers that are fantasy usable?
We're talking about Gorgie.
You know I love my Gorgie.
We're talking about Ed Davis.
You know what? I love my Ed Davis.
Yeah, those are pretty close. I mean, I think they're all giving basically the same stat line in about the same amount of minutes.
Mm-hmm. Which, how would you rank those three? I know it's tough when they're so close, but...
I have Kamen last because I don't think there's any way he takes over the starting job.
He
can't defend well enough.
I don't think so either, but when the guy in front of you is Robin Lopez, I mean...
Top 50 player Robin Lopez, that guy?
Oh, no, Robin Lopez is terrible. You know he's terrible. Sideshow. Side clown.
I have trouble with that. I mean, so who would you rather have then? Robin Lopez, Pekovic, or Carlos Boozer?
Lopez, Pekovic, or Boozer? Like, on a fantasy team? Or in like
No, fantasy team.
I mean, you'd rather have Rolo.
Who do you think out of those three is most likely to cede minutes to their backup?
Probably Pekovic, because he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, so, I'm with you. Gorgie's number one.
Yeah, Gorgie's my first one, too. I mean, he's just so good. I think he's the best player of the three right now, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, but you go Davis versus Kamen, and I'm going to give a slight edge to Davis because he's putting together a little bit of a couple of steals.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives a little bit extra.
I'm completely with you. That's how I'd have him too, Jang, Davis, and Kamen. But all are definitely 12-team usable. I mean, you'd rather Kamen over Mason Plumlee, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because Plumlee will probably, by the end of the year, Plumlee will probably be the most owned of those.
Because you think Brolo's going to get hurt?
Yeah.
All the lows are going to get hurt. Well, Robin's pretty durable, but he's just terrible at basketball. Yeah. And Kamen's going to start and play 48 minutes a game. So let's talk about Rajon Rondo with the triple-double last night. But we know he can do that. But what about hitting the 4 threes?
On 7 attempts, and up to this point he's had... Let's see, he's 1 for 6 up to this point through the rest of the games. Yeah, I'm not buying it.
So you think just an aberration?
I'd say over under at 0.5, I'll go the under.
Really? Because he was at 0.9 last year. I think he's going to be closer. I'll take the over. I think he'll be fairly close to that 0.8, 0.9. He's at 0.8 now. Obviously, this outlier helps that. But, I mean, if he's going to hit a couple threes a game, every now and then, he's...
I hate what it does to his fantasy value because it's going to crush his field goal percent.
It might.
He's once in his career has he shot an over 30% from three. I mean, last year with his .9, he was shooting 28.9%. That's atrocious.
While true, a lot of those other percents were in very low volume, so... I don't know. I think that's a part of his game he's going to improve on. I don't know. Would you rather Rondo or Conley?
Yeah, I'll take Rondo.
Yeah.
Conley has zero upside. How about Rondo and Drew?
I'll take Rondo.
Yeah?
So, I mean, I think health, the big health concern coming into the year really sunk his value. You're definitely looking great if you got him where you did. There was a comment today where it was Kawhi plus some not very good throw-in for Rondo, and they said they were desperate for assists. And I said, no, I'd still want to get more out of Kawhi. But that's closer than it was on draft day, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at these numbers, and I would take Drew Holiday over Rondo.
Really?
You're losing a few assists. Well, you're losing like 4 or 5 assists.
I think
those will go back up for Drew. And you're looking at plus five points. Drew's going to be a better 3-point shooter. And Holiday only has 1.6 turnovers to date. If he reined those in, man, he's going to be a really good point guard ranking wise.
Well, even though you refuse to believe it, rebounds are still a stat, too.
Damn it. Which, I don't care if my point... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it is. Okay. It's a big deal.
I mean, 2.4 for Drew, all the way to 8.2 for Rondo. I mean, that's massive.
Yeah, but you got the field goal percent to deal with. I don't know. I bet their rankings are, like, neck and neck. No? Drew is a better ranking, quote unquote.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I imagine
I think I would go with Drew.
Well, I think we both like Drew more than probably the consensus, but I'm still gonna take Rondo over him.
Yeah, I imagine in a straight up in a trade, you can if you had both, you would get more for Rondo than you would for Drew.
Yeah, agree with that. So definitely don't be selling Drew. I think is the best advice we can give out of that whole
thing. Yeah, he looks really good. I'm impressed, and I don't own him anywhere, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. To a guy that may not need to be owned by anyone, is Aaron Aflalo droppable? Had two terrible games, then had 18 points on November 9th, then again against Portland last night, got benched, didn't even get to 10.5 minutes, only 4 points. Are you dropping Aflalo?
Not after last night. I think... what's his name? Shaw. He's trying to make a point.
I'm Bernard just benched Shaw.
There's a bunch of guys that got benched to start the second half.
Yeah, I mean that game was a travesty.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make a point. So let's see what happens. I mean, he gets Indy and New York next too. He should have good games.
Yeah.
If he plays 30 plus minutes and has some good games, I would absolutely look to trade him though.
Mm-hmm. Would you look to trade Brandon Jennings after last night? Woo, he was hot. 32 points, 11 for 19 shooting, hit 3 trays, 32-3-10-2-0, 10 assists. Now has 5 or more assists in his last 7 games. Had 2 bad games to start the year, but since then has been, well, he was pretty bad his 4th game. The past 4 games have been really, really good.
Yeah, I would sell him for... What, Jeff Teague? I'd take Teague.
Oh, for sure. I'd take Teague any day.
But just that Brandon Jennings gets to be in that conversation now means you should be selling him.
I agree. I mean,
because a week ago he was not in that conversation.
I mean, he could go out the next game, shoot 3 of 15, and then the game after DJ Augustine plays 28 minutes in a, you know, for a week straight.
Absolutely.
So, definitely, I don't think that this is... You know, throw the gavel down. This is Brandon Jennings' backcourt again. He was instant offense last night. He hit a bunch of shots early. They rolled with him. I think that just kind of dictated how that game went. So your Jazz, your mighty, awesome Utah Jazz. You said you watched a lot of this game, right? What did you think about Trey Burke?
Start to finish.
What did you think about Burke
getting
the dime bag?
He was actually more aggressive than I thought he was previously. He didn't look too bad. Alec Burks looks really good.
Yeah, Burks had a good game. But for Burke, 19 assists the past 2 games, still is an atrocious shooter. 3 for his last 16 from deep. He's now, let's see, 9 for his last 35 from the field. Shooting right at 30%. Yeah. But I mean, I guess if you're having 11 assists and only 2 turnovers, 19 assists to his last 2 turnovers, the last 2 games, I think you can put Exum in the deathbed, right?
For the next game, but you never know what's going to happen there. The big thing about Trey is that these steals are kind of coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes him a much more intriguing upside type of guy.
Had 3 last night, up to 1.5 a game after only 0.6 last year. He's actually playing fewer minutes per game so far this year. So,
yeah, I don't think he's figured it out, but yeah, he definitely looks more in control. Ugh. His jump is just atrocious.
He's getting so many more steals than KCP. So annoying!
Yeah.
Come on, KCP! If Trey Burke's getting steals, you should get steals. So yeah, 2 Alec Burks, 22 points, 22-2-3-1-0, hit a 3, shot 9 of 15. I don't know, I've never been a huge Burks guy. He scores, and I don't think he just... I just don't think he does enough of anything else.
Well, the big thing for me that I kept going for was I knew that free throw percent. I knew that was going to come up, and it is coming up. And he's not a bad three-point shooter. He's career 35%. He just needed to take more, and now he's taking more. He's still only at 11 shots a game. I don't know. There's a lot of room for growth here. And they signed him to a long-term deal. I mean, they're going to play him.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're going to play him. And yes, maybe he should be taking more shots. But, you know, 1 of 7 for his last threes. That free throw percentage, that surprised me. Yeah, was a career, 72 or 73% shooter this year, and his highest volume at 89.2%. That's a big improvement.
Yep. Easiest thing to work on. Just had to do it.
Tell that to Dwight Howard.
Well, when your hands are the size of baseball mitts, I guess it is harder.
Maybe I should do that just to sympathize with Dwight Howard. Put on two catcher's mitts.
If you can put on a pair of like catcher's mitts on both hands and go out there and shoot 50%, I would be impressed.
Yeah. So, poor Dwight Howard and his inability to hit free throws. It was 4 of 5 last night, though. I think that's a career best.
Percentage-wise, it's up there.
So let's talk your Heat point guards a little bit. How about Norris Cole getting 7 assists and no turnovers last night? Had a 9-4-7 game. Now has 16 assists his last 3 games to only 4 turnovers. You know, given one of these games, he only played 14 minutes. But
And had 3 of those 4 turnovers.
Yeah, so he had one bad one for sure out of the past 3. What do you make of this?
I can't own him. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't risk those 15-minute games. Not in a 12-team league.
And Chalmers had a bad game last night, too. He only had 2 assists, I think. I'm pulling it up now, but...
They scored 75 points against Indiana.
But, I mean, that's a big part of why I wanted to bring up Cole. I mean, he had 7 assists when the team had 75 points. But yeah, Chalmers, 7-2-1-2-0 with 3 turnovers. I mean, and Napier still got his 14 minutes.
And yeah, it's just still 3-3-4. 3-3-4 with 1 turnover and a 3.
Yeah, I mean.
And it looks like he had the highest plus or minus out of anybody in the game.
I mean, you like Napier. It'd be nice if he had a role, but, you know, Chalmers is staying valuable. He has a steal in every game this year, 2 in the past 2 games. You know, gets a couple assists. It's just such a bad point guard rotation for fantasy.
Yeah, I it could get better, though. And I'm not saying, you know, sit on Napier in a 12-team league. I'm thinking more like a deep 16-teamer with a nice big bench, something like that.
And joining us on the Razzball Basketball Podcast is Mike Gallagher from Roto World. He is our opponent in our Yahoo Friends and Family League this week. I got Slim on the phone as well for you, Mike. And how are you doing today?
I'm great. Getting ready for a little 4-game night tonight. Michael Carter-Williams coming up, so we'll see how he does with Tony Rhodes. That should be a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I was the number one guy on MCW on Fantasy Pros for a little bit there before a little bit of injury concerns had me move him down a little bit. So I love MCW. I'm really looking forward to him tonight there. So tell us a little bit about what you do for Roto World, how long you've been there, and how we can read your stuff.
So this is my 3rd year with Roto World. I do pretty much the game night blurb. So if you're on Roto World, you see all the recaps you write about how players do from time to time. I do a lot of those, and I do some during the day. And then I write a few columns on Roto World 2 for basketball. So I pretty much do it all the time, which is crazy. And yeah, this time of year, I kind of neglect my girlfriend quite a bit. So it's all right.
I know what that's like. I am engaged myself, so I definitely know the world of that. So let's talk a little bit about your Friends and Family League. Slim, what did you think about Mike's first pick there?
Well, yeah, Kevin Durant. If we were talking about if he fell, we were definitely going to take him, no questions asked. I mean, there wasn't really anybody else you would take over him, right?
Yeah, like when I was pretty much going to be, and I've been in situ. I have Durant in a lot of leagues, And just based on the math last year, not only, like, people, you know, we could get caught up with, like, football and who the number one player is. And, like, they kind of edge him out sometimes. But Durant was just so good last year. And as it turns out, if you kind of quantify it by, you know, Basketball Monster, or even if you, like, calculate what it came out to be auction value-wise, he was about 20% better than anyone else just because he's such a nine-cat monster. So my rationale was, okay, so I lose 20% of my games with injury, and then, you know, he's 20% better than everyone else. So it's kind of, he's still a top five pick in my eyes. Can take, plus take into account that it's a playoff head-to-head. I mean, when the games count more in the end, you know, kind of who cares if you don't make the playoffs? I don't really like finishing second or third. So kind of go for the gusto.
Yeah, yeah,
especially with there being this being a weekly league, and you can just bench him, and it doesn't really hurt that bad right now.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a lot of other injuries too, which has kind of backfired a little bit with Oladipo getting hurt like the day after we drafted or something. That really hurt me too. And Kawhi and a lot of my team's pretty banged up, but it's okay.
That was our thoughts exactly too. I think you had picked 8 or so in the friends and family. I think we were 10th, and we were hoping Durant would fall. We were definitely really supportive of that pick there. Our week's going pretty good against you. We got a big game from Paul Millsap, who's a guy we reached for. I'm surprised no one really said anything in the draft chat when we picked him over Kevin Love. What do you think of reaching for Millsap there?
Oh, not a reach at all. I love Millsap. I mean, last night, totally evident. Guy who had a really high usage rate, even with Horford. It's a little bit down when Horford's out there, but does it all. I mean, you love the defense. Not bad from the free throw line. Gets the occasional threes. Kind of like I love Kawhi Leonard. He's a lot like Kawhi. He just does it everywhere. He has a little bit more offense than Kawhi does. But, yeah, he's a beast. I had him, I think, like 19th on my board or something, and I have Love behind him too. So, yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah, I had Millsap, I think, 13th overall. I was the Fantasy Pros number one on him. So, and he started slow, so I really needed to see that game last night. Made me feel a lot better. Who are some buy lows for you? Who are some guys you like coming into the year that might be starting slow that you're still big on that fantasy owners can go out and get?
I wrote it up actually on a RotoWorld for a season pass, but man, Andre Drummond's been so bad. He can't be this bad. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was second overall in effective field goal last year. And now he's among qualifiers. I checked this yesterday. He was 116 out of 121 qualifiers.
Wow.
For that big drop off, and if you kind of delve a little deeper, NBA.com has really cool stats where they actually track how many times you dribble before a shot. And last year, it was like 65% of Drummond shots were without a dribble. He usually dunks.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, he's taking way more post ups and like multiple dribbles, and it's killing him right now. So they kind of got to get back to basics. Obviously, the free throw percentage is going to be horrible. So, I mean, it's a fit. But I've actually had people on Twitter asking me about dropping him,
wow.
Which is crazy for a guy who you probably invested as a second or third round pick. So he's a pretty good candidate. Kawhi, the buy low window is kind of gone there. He's had two monster games. Let's see. Carmelo Anthony, too, another guy. New system, so you'd think he'll come around a little bit. Shooting the ball a little bit better. You like to see the dimes, too. They're kind of on the rise. Blake Griffin's kind of cooled off, but he's had, I think, career lows and, like, pretty much rebounds, I think steals. But his free throw percentage is pretty good, which is a really good sign. He's at 76% right now. So if he can hold that, that's always been the big bugaboo with Griffin. So if he holds that up, I mean, you're looking at a guy who should be a solid lock for like top 15, 16 dial, even without the blocks. You mentioned Millsap, obviously that's kind of over.
Yeah.
Last night at the window slammed shut. Guys, you know, he was, I think, like 39-40% before last night. But yeah, he broke out last night with a huge effective with the threes too. So those are probably the big name guys. I'm kind of some kind of people asking about the Suns. I'm not too bullish on buying low on them. I mean, you look at the last two games, Isaiah Thomas and Gerald Green just went off. Kind of a fun stat with the big kind of ish upset ish without Klay Thompson. They had a combined usage rate of 75. Isaiah and Gerald, man. I mean, they just literally had the ball the entire quarter. It was so great. Bledsoe got it last night. Bledsoe had low minutes. It's usually Dragic who was losing, but now it's kind of it's just a gamble. And Hornacek just has so many weapons in that backcourt that the guys are going to have bad games. It's just the way it goes. So, I mean, you could buy a little bit, but I wouldn't really go for Bledsoe or Dragic for like you could get him probably for like a 60 or 70. But I wouldn't be willing to spend like top 50 value. Kenneth Faried's awful right now, so I mean you could probably get him pretty cheap. He was pretty hypey, so usually the hypey guys people won't really sell low on. Those are probably a bunch of names I can think of. Ty Lawson kind of broke out last night, which is nice too.
Yeah, the thing with Lawson too was he played 42 minutes in a complete blowout, so yeah. Got to make you feel better about those ankles that he's been having trouble with. That was definitely good to see. So thanks again for hopping on with us. Check out Mike Gallagher on Roto World. What's your Twitter? I'm gonna follow you right now.
Mike S is in Scott Gallagher. I'm pretty decent on answering questions. If you have anything, let me know. I'm always on there, like literally all the time. So
cool. Well, I am following you right now. So if you have any questions for Mike and Roto World, shoot them over there on Twitter. Do you have any other questions for Mike, Slim?
Yeah, I actually asked JB about this the other day. Is it weird to write stuff like those little blurbs and like not get credit for it? I had no idea that was you. I don't know who writes that. Sometimes there's some good ones.
That's a good question. A lot of people are like, oh, that was you? I love it, man. So it's not a big deal. And I kind of get my own little like blurb. I'm very to the point, I guess, and it's probably because I read so many blurbs just with those. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, people who are like Dr. A, he knows what I write and everything like that. So as long as the people who are in charge kind of know what I'm doing, it's all good. But it's cool.
Yeah, so how many people write those blurbs? I actually had a really interesting comment about there was a big discrepancy between someone writing that Zach LaVine's the point guard to own in Minnesota, and then another one said they think it's going to be Mo Williams. Like, how many opinions are there on those blurbs? And
I was also pro Mo before last night, but now, so it's kind of a little, we kind of pull some thoughts together. So, but I think LaVine's the better owned, by the way. I don't really want either in a 12 team. But to answer your question, actually last year was crazy. It was pretty much like Ryan Nass and myself and Steve and Aaron Brewski. It was like us four and like that's it,
mm-hmm.
which was nuts. But this year we kind of have a few other guys mixed in. I want to say like 7 or 8 guys, but the night games are going to be either the same four, me, Aaron, Ryan, and Steve. It's pretty much just us four. Usually I'm pretty much on every night, and then I'll tag team with whomever to get it done.
Cool, got you. So when you read your Roto World blurbs on your players, be thinking of Mike there, and be sure to follow him on Twitter. And good luck to you on the rest of your week and the Yahoo friends and family. We got a little lead now, but barely. Yeah. So,
hey, thanks a lot, guys. Anytime. This is a lot of fun.
Cool. Thanks for being on. Catch you later.
Take care.
And thanks again to Mike Gallagher for hopping on the phone with us. And let's take a quick look ahead to Thursday's schedule. And first with our 30-point challenge. Oh, man. Reggie Jackson for you had 28 points with, like, some good time left and just couldn't get one more hoop for you.
Yeah, it was close.
And then I had Melo. He put up 27. Man, that was definitely our closest night for both of us for not getting one. So, still another pair of zeros there. I am still up 2-0 in our 30-point challenge, and I'm just killing you. I'm just killing you. You got to get someone right tonight. Only four games on the slate.
If I was a betting man, I don't think there is a 30-point game tonight. But
yeah, I agree with you.
I'm looking at these. I mean, is Dirk still off the top 10?
I think so. Where is Dirk?
Probably get benched. You know what? I'm gonna go a little off course. I'm gonna go Chandler Parsons. Big game.
Oh, good one. Yeah, I'm sticking with Dallas too. I am going to go with Monta Ellis.
Okay.
I think I've picked Ellis before too, and it did not work out. Yeah, I picked him on the 30th, and he had 14 points. So I don't know that, you know, MCW is going to be back tonight. Who knows how the rotation between he and Tony Roten's going to go. So I think Ellis has a real good chance to beat off some of the rust of MCW.
I was just thinking which one of those Dallas players is most likely to play in a fourth quarter blowout, and I'm going Parsons.
That's a good point. I don't know.
That's why I'm not going Dirk for sure.
MCW is so good that he's going to make the game close.
Yeah. I mean, at least he gets guarded by Jameer Nelson, so.
Yeah.
Who I believe is going to be playing tonight.
Yeah, it sounds like he is going to play. I still put Devin Harrison as one of my streamer calls for today just because, I don't know, I feel like Nelson's minutes might get limited. They'll play Harris more late. Harris has been better anyway.
I picked up Harris yesterday to stream today.
I meant to bring that up. You dropped Jeremy Lamb for Harris in our RCL league we're in together. I made the same exact move in my RCL league.
I'm pretty much done with the OKC guard forward.
Yeah,
nonsense.
And this is why I didn't pick Lamb. A lot of questions for Morrow, who had 28 last night. A lot of questions for picking up those guys, and I just don't really see it. So, but I picked up Lamb because OKC had four games, and I thought he'd be valuable enough for this week, but I decided to move on. He was one of my four moves of the week. So tonight, Chicago at Toronto, really nothing much there, right?
I mean, this is the best game of the night, I think. Well, that Kings-Memphis game's pretty good, but this is a good game.
Yeah, I mean, good games, but nothing, like, groundbreaking fantasy-wise. Kings at Memphis, looks like Collison's going to be back, so if you're streaming Ramon Sessions, you can probably not expect too much there. I mean, it's not like there's going to be much better options, but...
Little Beno Udrih.
Oh, yeah, 18 points in his REL debut for my team, so... I don't think he's. I think I might have lucked out and gotten his game of the year. So.
Yeah, I would say so.
Then, as we talked about, Philly at Dallas, and then finally the late game, Brooklyn at Golden State, the late TNT game. Klay Thompson's healthy. He played last game anyway. Draymond Green's still going to be starting as Lee is still out a good bit. My other sleeper pick was Bohan Bogdanovic. I think he's going to get a lot of shots for the Nets. I mean,
very capable.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to need offense. You might as well have him chucking up some threes. So, he's the guy that at the time of the article, this morning was only 6% owned. So if you need a Thragnoff, he's a good Thragnoff pick for tonight.
The thing of the night tonight is definitely what's going to happen with this Philly rotation
with MCW.
Mike Williams back.
Completely agree to see what happens with Tony Roten, if Hollis Thompson still is going to play 30 minutes.
Crossing my fingers that KJ still gets 28, 29 minutes.
Yeah, so a lot for Brett Brown to decide in that game. So let's look back at our DraftKings from last Friday. Congratulations to Clay version 2. Won the DraftKings only contest with 256.5 points. Slim did a lot better than I did.
I was doing good until that final game. I think Cousins won it for him and everyone else that picked him.
Yeah, I had Cousins too. You know, he put up 52 points. My problem was I had Ricky Rubio, and he had 16 points through a quarter and then had the ankle injury. So that really set me back. I picked Greg Monroe. I thought he would have a good game. He had a bad one. Aaron Brooks didn't come through as big. I mentioned this on last Monday that Brooks, he didn't have the good game Friday, but he had the really good one on Saturday with no Derrick Rose. So I was one game off there. Looking ahead to some DraftKings picks for tomorrow. We don't have the values up, so I'm just looking at Friday's schedule, trying to think of some good value out there. Isaiah Cannon and Moti Unis both probably starting for Houston against a really bad Philadelphia team, you know, playing a back-to-back. I think they might be some values.
Pretty much have to play Reggie every game.
Yeah, I don't know what his value's at now, but and it's been increasingly going up, but it's still not in the elite level, at least I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers, everyone who plays Pacers seems to win.
That's true.
I mean, they're cheap, you know? I mean, you can get, well, you, for a while, you could get Sloan for so much cheaper than any other starting point guard.
Yeah. Hickson.
Copeland was sitting at that 4,000 range forever, too.
Hickson might be cheap, now playing a lot of minutes for Denver, going against
Indiana. Yeah, I'm leaving that Denver rotation alone tonight.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow night.
For tomorrow night.
What's going on?
Trying to
love me some Vucevic against the Bucks.
That would be a good one against Larry Sanders and his underutilization. Buzzword, if anyone read yesterday. Yeah, I like him there.
Up the brow goes. Must play, no matter the cost.
Even though I was kind of wrong with him as a sleeper pick a couple articles ago, I like Gary Neal at Phoenix. You imagine Hornets are probably going to be down, need offense. They play Neal when they need offense over MKG.
And Phoenix likes to play small, which...
Yeah, which... Yeah, exactly. So you can see a lot of Stevenson, Kimba, and Neal rotations. Those are some DraftKings ideas. Don't know yet if we're going to have a Razzball-only contest again for Friday. If we don't, we'll definitely have a DraftKings article, and we'll pick out a contest that Slim and I will both be in, and then you can join and play with us there and track how you're doing. So, anything else you're looking for on Friday? Pretty big slate of games.
Yeah, it's a big slate. I don't know. We covered a lot of it.
Yeah.
Big Jazz game.
Yeah, that's your favorite team, and Utah should
probably
win.
The only non-Knicks fan watching.
Utah should win that one. Good to see
you. We should be on SportsCenter, though, since the Knicks are playing.
We didn't really talk much about Atlanta, except for with Mike. Millsap after the huge game. Jeff Teague, he's back to big minutes and had a big game. You can forget about Schroeder.
Yeah, that was an outlier.
Yep, so Teague's a good start.
Cleveland's gonna crush Boston. That's not a game.
What is Anthony Davis gonna do to Pekovic? I mean, Pekovic is exactly the kind of guy that might actually give Anthony Davis a little trouble, just because.
Nah, they're gonna put Pekovic on Ashik and then put Thaddeus on.
Oh, you're right. They are gonna have to do it that way. Ugh. So Thaddeus is gonna get burnt up. Kobe playing against the Spurs, so we'll have Guess the Kobe line tomorrow.
Oh, that's going to be... Who can have the biggest difference between points and shots taken? That's the question.
You see, I got his points exactly right.
Oh, man, that was a good game. That's a good job.
I guess 33. He got 33. I think I guessed 31 shots, and he had 28. So I had a pretty
efficient Kobe game.
Yeah. It was one of his better games. Although the Lakers still lost. Womp womp. Didn't they lose? Sure. I'm pretty sure they lost. It's pretty safe to assume if you're not sure that the Lakers lost. So.
Yeah, but, you know, this is fantasy. I rarely pay attention to actual wins and losses.
Yeah, they lost by 7 to the Pelicans. So. All right, so it's our weekend for us, as every end of the Thursday show. It's time to go out to the movies. What are you going to be going out and seeing this weekend at the movie theater when both of us know neither of us are going to the movie theater?
I mean, you know, I guess Fury with Brad Pitt's the big one, but I think I'm going for Foxcatcher. I want to see Steve Carell in that drama.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I think he's a pretty good actor. 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that one's certified fresh. Channing Tatum, is this an all drama, no comedy?
I don't know, Mark Ruffalo, it's got to be some comedy, but it's a drama, for sure.
Interesting.
And Carell's got a bunch of makeup on, you can barely tell it's him. It looks good. I've seen him on Daily Show and Colbert, I think, and it looks like a good movie.
Interesting.
I haven't heard any Oscar buzz, but that's kind of what they were hinting at.
Yeah, I think it's a limited release, but Jon Stewart's movie, Rosewater, it's coming out. I'll probably be interested to see that. I know we're both gonna go see Dumb and Dumber 2. Why?
Yeah, when it comes to DVD, sure, why not?
Like, I can understand Jim Carrey wanting to slut out for his money, but Jeff Daniels, come on, you could do better, Jeff Daniels.
Man, that Jim Carrey Saturday Night Live was so funny.
Yeah. I need to go back and watch that one. I watched a little bit and fell asleep. So,
the different segments he has with the Matthew McConaughey car commercial.
That's right. I remember seeing some of those.
Well, I've seen The Homesman. That's a good movie. Hilary Swank and Tommy Lee Jones.
Interesting. It's a Western, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a legitimate Western, too. But Hilary Swank is really good in it. She meets a guy. She's like, you know, you will marry me. She's good. It was a good movie.
Interesting. I will definitely put that one into my Netflix queue whenever that comes out, because we know I'm not going to be able to see too many of these in theaters. But speaking of, I'm hoping to go see Interstellar in IMAX this weekend. That's
one that definitely should be done in theaters.
Yeah. So that's a big one for me. What else have you watched this past week of not recent movies?
I mean, I'm doing a lot of shows. You know, it pains me to say, but I'm watching Blackish and enjoying it.
Oh, I'm actually watching that too. For my other job, one of our clients is ABC, and we do some of their data processing on their new shows. And I've watched some of Blackish. It's a pretty funny show. Gotta love Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, and it's not strictly about, you know, race.
No, not at all.
It's family drama. It's good stuff. I was surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised I've stuck with it this long.
I think that one's gotten some good buzz, too. So it's actually a show we both watched, besides Walking Dead. What do you know? I watched have you seen Snowpiercer yet?
No, I skipped that one. I watched a Tosh where he just destroyed it. But, yeah, okay.
Why did Tosh destroy it? I think the most important question is, why are you relying on Tosh for any of your movie criticism?
I remember a couple of his, spoilers for some of these movies, and they are perfect. I mean, I'd rather watch him than, you know, Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, well, that's not saying much. But what did Tosh say about Snowpiercer?
Oh man, I think he said it was, you know, ridiculously. You knew everything that was going to happen. I think that was the big one.
Not at all. I can't remember. I thought the whole, like, I
just ripped on it.
I thought the beginning was kind of meh, but then as they progressed in the storyline, I don't want to give any away. It was some really interesting things with kind of some genre busting sort of scenes. So I thought it was really cool. It's on Netflix now if you have a Netflix account, so that's one to go out and check out and see.
I saw a copy of it. I might pick that one up and give it a shot.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's a thriller, right?
Yeah, it's thriller, kind of action-y, sci-fi-y. I mean, there's some things that make very, like, the whole situation doesn't really make too much sense, so don't, like, the overall kind of background, don't worry about that. Just,
it's not the best I've heard for getting me to watch a movie, but it's okay.
You know what I mean, though. It's like, there's plot, like... So, I'm not giving anything away. It's a train that goes around the world, first of all, which, okay.
I've been on that.
Yeah, and second of all, it's, you know, all the countries of the world tried to fight global warming, and they accidentally made it an ice age that killed everything. And yet somehow only the people that survived got on this stupid-ass train. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So it's got good science backing it up. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's got very, very good science. I'm pretty sure Al Gore was the consultant for the movie. but no, I mean, throw that out and then just enjoy the movie and the scope it's in. And I think you might like it. So, I think that's going to do it for us for today, this Thursday. And looking forward to a really big weekend of hoops. We got... lot to cover when we come back next week.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have a couple days off.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully my Panthers don't make me have a Crown and Coke infused article for Monday morning again.
Or that was our Tuesday. Don't lose on the last play again.
Yeah, we have the football blues. That's why fantasy basketball is the best fantasy sport there is. So
yeah, I like any sport where what the team actually does doesn't matter. I just want one guy to play well.
Yeah. And it's fun watching basketball when you're just tracking your guys. I mean, it's different for football because, you know, complete things can dictate. They'll never, you know, your wide receivers will never get passes. And then baseball, you know, they get four at-bats. Who knows what'll happen? In basketball, you get to watch them the whole time. So,
I know, I used to hate that. You know, guy goes 1-for-4 with a run and you get excited about it.
Well, that's why I'm the pitcher guy for Razzball. I'll watch my starting pitchers. I watch pitchers way over hitters. So.
All right. So a guy goes five innings, gives up two runs, has a 1.3 whip, and you're like, oh, that was okay.
Depends on how he looks, and also the strikeouts. You know, there's a lot you can do with pitching in the eye level. I know this is not a baseball podcast at all, and we're way off the rails, but Corey Kluber, one of my best calls of my life. I told everyone to pick him up everywhere last year in like May, and then had to fight for him and was like, you know, 60 picks ahead of the consensus for him heading into last year and won the
title. I figured I was better off holding Haney till he got called up.
That worked out really well for Andrew Heaney. All right, we're way off track. We need to get out of here and focus more on basketball over the weekend. So have yourself a good weekend, man.
All right, thanks. You too.